ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Now, in this chapter, entitled Dhyan Yoga, he is elaborately discussing about the Ashtanga Yoga process. Again, in the beginning of this chapter, Krishna gives the first four verses, which is like a revision of the previous chapter. So now Krishna wants Arjuna to properly understand. So he is just again making the point of Nishkam Karma Yoga so that he may not become confused. So we will read the first four verses. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Anashrita Karma Palam Karyam Karma Karoti Yah Sanyasi Cha Yogi Cha Jnani Raghurna Chakriya The Supreme Personality of God has said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. In the first nine verses, 1 to 9, Krishna is talking about the prerequisites for Ashtanga Yoga. And then later on, he will talk about Ashtanga Yoga in more detail. But in the first nine verses, he is telling about the prerequisites. But in the first four verses, he is talking about how a Nishkama Karma Yogi can go to the stage of Ashtanga Yoga. It is understood that a Nishkama Karma Yogi or one who is about to take a Nishkama Karma Yoga is not yet sufficiently purified. And by his action, by performing Nishkama Karma, gradually he is going to get purified. So in these four verses, in the beginning verse here, Krishna is talking how one should not prematurely renounce his actions. Here, as he said in the earlier chapters, he is confirming the same point. Anashita karma phala, without attached to the fruits of one's action. Karyam karma karatyaha. One should perform one's actions. And a sannyasi, one who is completely renounced from this world, one who does not do any action, he is not a real yogi, he thinks. Satanyasi is a yogi cha. Na niragmir and chakriya. One who does not lit up fire or one who does not perform his duty, he cannot be considered a real sannyasi. Who is a real sannyasi here, he says? One who performs his actions and offers the fruits to God. Here the word specifically Agni is used because one of the duties of Brahmanas is to perform the Agnihotra sacrifice on a daily basis, every day. So, that is actually the Yajna, which they perform for the Lord's pleasure. So, that is also one of the prescribed duty. So, when he says, Na Niragmir Rajakriya, he means that everyone should perform his prescribed duty and learn to offer the fruits to God. And by doing that, one becomes a real sannyasi. So this is the third time here in the first six chapters we see Krishna stressing on action and not giving up work. That one should do one's work. At the same time one should renounce the fruits of the Lord's pleasure. Although it is understood that Ashtanga Yogi will eventually renounce the work and he'll be going to forest, still Krishna is here clearing that as long as one is not sufficiently purified or detached from material bondage, one should continue to perform work and offer the fruits to God. But in liberated stage, either one can choose to perform work for the sake of setting examples for others, Or one can give up work. That will be sannyasi. Go on. The second verse says, Yam sannyasamiti prahur.
Yam sannyasamiti prahur.
Yogam tam viddhi pandava.
Yogam tam viddhi pandava.
Naha sanyasta sankalpo. Yogi bhavati kashchana.
Yogi bhavati kashchana.
What is called renunciation, you should know to be the same as yoga. A linking oneself to the Supreme. O son of Pandu. For one can never become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. So here Krishna defines what is real renunciation. Real renunciation is detached action. And whether we are performing detached action or we are leaving everything and renouncing the world, in either case, one should be free from the desire for sense gratification. That is a mandatory thing in both. One should be free from the desire for sense gratification. So either you perform work with no desire for sense gratification, then it can lead to detached action. Or once you completely renounce the work. And as you saw earlier, Krishna explained how detached work is more easier to perform than renouncing work itself completely. So here he says both are equal, detached action and renunciation, both are equal. So not only should we give up indriya tripti, sense gratification, we should also give up the desire for performing it. That is the real platform of renunciation, he says. There is a difference between the two. Giving up sense gratification means you are forcibly taken away from enjoying. Just like when you have diabetes, doctor tells you that you cannot eat sweet. It doesn't mean that you don't want to eat sweet. You very much want to eat sweet. But you have been restricted from eating sweet. Or sometimes you have indigestion and somebody invites you for a big feast, to the marriage. And you can see all the items in front of you. But because of indigestion, you have to restrain yourself. Although you want to eat. So is it real renunciation? Not that. It's forced. But the real pattern of renunciation is when the objects of senses are available for enjoyment, one still doesn't derive any pleasure from them. One can just say no to them very easily. This is the pattern of real renunciation. So true renunciation can manifest only by proper detachment. Detachment from two things. In this world, everywhere, these two things are seen. Detachment from possessiveness. Everyone has a possessing mentality. Me and mine. Like we often say, even a beggar is proud of his penny. Sometimes you see a fight amongst the beggars. Who is richer? I am a richer beggar than you. Like that. So a beggar may be attached to some piece of cloth, or a beggar may be attached to sometimes one corner of a marketplace or something. Sometimes two beggars fight for the same place. It is my corner, it is your corner. People fight like that. So this possessiveness, one has to become detached. And another thing is enjoying propensity. These two things, if one is detached from these two, then it is a platform of real renunciation. You see, as we observe, the possessiveness begins from our own self. Proper rational purpose about concentrated and extended sense gratification. It begins from our own body. First, we are very careful to take care of all the necessities of the body. Like you say, first you need food, then you need clothing, then you need shelter. Then after food, clothing and shelter comes?
Security.
After that? Social status. Actually, if you see the master's triangle, according to him, he says, one first needs food, clothing and shelter, and then once you have shelter, you are already safe and secure. And then you need a social status and then prestige. And it goes on. Then the luxury afterwards, once you have all these things. So in this way, one necessities keep on increasing. But in the beginning, one takes a very great care of one's own body. When it comes to the question of me and my brother or me and my sister, one takes care of one's own body first. My desire should be first fulfilled. And when one's needs are fulfilled, then one begins to worry about his. Can. be then about his wife, about his children, or about father, or about mother, then the immediate near and dear ones, because they are also connected to the body. And one feels that by protecting them, they will also reciprocate protection to me. If I protect them now, at a later stage they will protect me. This kind of feeling comes. So there is a kind of expectation in that relationship also. And one is attached to that. Similarly, possessiveness, one feels, one becomes very attached to one's home, to one's own room. This is my room. If you have your own room, or my table, my pen, and my vehicle, my things. So gradually, although these things you never possessed them ever before, after we possess them, you become very possessive. After we possess them. And you don't know how you develop attachment for it. That attachment is actually in the mind only. Because these things which you possess may stay with you for some time and you may lose it. If you have a very costly foreign pen with you and you are very proud of it, when you lose it you feel a great pain because you consider it yours. But then at some point of time it is taken away. In the same way, anything of this world, you possess something, gradually your attachment for that keeps increasing more and more and more. This is actually beginning with concentrated sense gratification. Concentrated means, as you call it, as selfish. Selfish. What is there in it for me? How can I enjoy it? How can I be satisfied by that? In fact, one worries about his body so much that one feels, after I die, they should very carefully take my body to the graveyard. And people should put some flowers on my body, and they should properly take my son should come, and he should put all the fire and everything. My body should not be rejected. How foolish idea is that? After you leave a body, if your body is not yours any longer, it's gone. And you have left the body and you have gone to another destination. Still one worries about the body. And one tells his wife and children and others, this is the way I want to be treated. My body should be respectfully taken. So this is the attachment one can have for one's body. This is concentrated. An extended sense gratification is the sense gratification that we derive from others who are all connected to the body in some way, some relationship. So relatives, friends, or not only that, even people who perform some kind of social service. Sometimes people enter in social service and you think, oh, he's a very broad-minded person. He's so magnanimous. He's entering service to the poor people, service to society. That even this is called as extended selfishness, extended sense gratification. Why is it considered selfishness? It is considered selfishness because the man is taking somebody else's property, offering it to the people. Just like if somebody comes to your home, bringing along with them some 50 people with them. And he takes all the things in your house and gives it to those 50 people in donation. All the poor people, you take this, you take this chair, you take this table, you take this umbrella, you take this clothes and be happy. How will you feel? You limit the call of police, isn't it? If somebody gives in donation like that. Because first of all, it doesn't belong to that person. And he is giving a donation to the people. In the same way, yes, even if a person apparently appears to be very magnanimous and is very wealthy and is giving in charity to people, still he is considered a thief as long as he does not bring God into reference. That is why Prabhupada used to say this honesty among thieves story. Three thieves, they robbed the bank and they went to the forest, and one of them went to pass urine. The other two were looking at the money. One of them said, come on, we'll share the money and run away, because we'll get a bigger share. Other fellow said, no, we should be very honest. Because let him also come, he also help us in stealing. So let us honestly divide the amount and be happy. So what kind of honesty is this? You have stolen money from a bank. What kind of honesty do these people have? In the same way, if somebody is rendering social service and he says, I'm a big atheist, but I'm rendering social service. That is no service at all, according to the scriptures. Because it is said, those people are apparently rendering some kind of social service only to pose themselves as father of human being, father of India, as father of America. or they want to pose themselves as friend of other living beings. They claim that I am your friend. So worship me as a friend. Worship me as a father. Worship me as a benefactor. Worship me as your well-wisher. So this is the demand they make for the petty service they render. Some people are so proud of the service. All over India you will see there are some prominent people who have become very famous for their service. They take all the glory to themselves by this altruism or by this kind of social service. So Krishna is the real friend of every living being. One who introduces Krishna to the other living beings is also a real friend of every living being. So real service is done when you either work for Krishna or work on behalf of Krishna, introducing Krishna to the benefit of all people. And you don't tell people that I am your friend. Actually, Krishna is your real friend. Surrender to him. You don't tell people, you surrender to me. You bow down to me. You understand my glory. Just see what I have done. Some people say, actually, no, I don't want anything. I want to lead a very simple life. But I want to give it to others. You certainly give it to others and it appears that they are very great social welfare workers. But if you carefully observe behind that service, they want to pose themselves as enjoyers of that service. It can be very easily seen. People who give a lot of money, they want their names to be put in the black stone in the building so that for all future history, in future people to come, the history will speak for itself. That these people have, this person has done so much. Some people want that statue to be made. Like that. So in this way, there is a desire for name and fame and adoration like that. So that is also extended sense gratification. So in Bhagavatam they said, Yashyatma Buddhi, Punasetri Dasuke, Sadi Kalastra Rishbhama Ijjadi, Satyirta Buddhi Salayana Parishichid, Sayo Ganesha Abhijyashu Sayoga Gokala, it is said. So they said, first of all, Yashyatma Buddhi, Punate Tri Dasuke. So his body is made up of three dhatu, Kapha Vata Pitta. Made of three. If one considers this body to be one's own self, he is a fool, medicine. So one is considering this body to be one's own self. Why this point is made? Because if you consider yourself to be a body, then you will pay very much value and attention to the comforts and facilities of the body. Of course, it doesn't mean that one should not worry about the body. Some minimum care has to be taken. Otherwise, how can we keep the body fit without any diseases and other things? But if one considers the body to be whole and soul, I mean the body to be everything, then such a person is considered as or a cow, it is said. As or a cow. Kaya yogokarahan. Yashyatma Buddhi, kunate tridhatuke, sadhi kalatra vishibhavama inchadi. And one considers things that are connected to the body like wife, and children, and other people, also as one's own. And it is said, Bhavama Ijjadi. One considers his birth place to be worshipable. Just because he was born in that particular land. And if one goes to holy places simply for the sake of taking a dip in the holy rivers and not associating with the devotees, then such a person is called as an avaran, as it is said. So this sloka basically is condemning the bodily consciousness. The bodily consciousness is condemned. So as long as your bodily consciousness can never become detached. So time to time we have to remind ourselves, I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. I am not the enjoyer, I am the cooperator. So these things should keep on going on in our mind time to time, when we especially render service to Krishna. So when we do some wonderful thing, even while giving Krishna consciousness to others, we should always remember that this is not my property. I have actually borrowed it from somebody and I'm just giving it. So why should you be proud of this knowledge? These people are attracted to you, they are attracted to the knowledge that you are carrying, or they are attracted to the wisdom that you are carrying. And that wisdom is not your property. That is Krishna's property. It is coming down the line. So we are just giving it like a post-sutyan, like a postman. So one should be conscious of this. So, in one level, if you see, the living entities are trying to become enjoyers. At the same time, you can see, some living entities are trying to become inactive by renouncing the world. On one hand, you are condemning enjoyers. On the other hand, somebody says, I want to become inactive and I want to become completely renounced from the world. Why? Why should you want to become renounced? Because first he tried to dominate the world and wanted to show the world that I am the enjoyer, and he tried to govern that, but he could not compete with the world. He saw that there are hundreds and thousands of competitors in the world, and you must be number one for some time, and after some time you are defeated. You cannot be number one always. Even the richest people in the world, they are so much in anxiety that if they are not working hard any time, their number one level may go to number three or number four. Again they have to compete and come back to number one. There is so much competition is there in this world. So when one sees that I want to enjoy this world, and I want to be a hero, and I want to show the world that I am very great, but if one cannot show that, then one may become a renunciate. One may renounce the world completely. Why? Why should one renounce the world? He renounces to show how great a renunciate I am. Yes, see, the whole world is enjoying, but I am not enjoying. The whole world is running after these things, but I am not running after these things. So, bhoga and tyaga, these two are two extremes. Enjoying for oneself and renouncing the world for oneself. These both the things are considered to be enjoying mentality. Bhoga and tyaga, both are enjoying mentality. Some people are trying to enjoy their own bodies. They are very minute enjoys, tiny enjoys. Some people, they want to enjoy in a big way, so they render service to others and say that, I am the annadata, I am the giver of food, I am the uniform data, or I am the job data, or whatever. I have given job, I have given uniforms, I have given food, and this entire society is surviving because of people like me. I have done so much. So they are also deriving enjoyment in a little bigger way. So there is an extended sense of gratification. But another class of people, they are enjoying by sacrificing this world. So when they sacrifice, they are sacrificing the tiny, tiny pleasures of this world for a bigger pleasure. Which they get when they see people falling at their feet, when they see people adoring them, when they see people respecting them like that. And such a person wants to gradually go higher and higher in the plane, ultimately to be called as God himself. So such people sometimes pose themselves as God, because they say, you people are enjoying the world and I have renounced everything, I am sadhu. So I should be called as God. I am God. There are people saying like that, who claim to be God. So they could not become enjoyers in this world because the material nature frustrates everyone. So they renounce the world and they are posing as God on their own behalf. Again, this point should be understood very carefully. One can enjoy the world or one can renounce the world depending on what Krishna wants us to do. Somebody may ask, even in ISKCON you have sannyasis, the brahmacharis, are they renouncing the world? Yes, they are. But one has to take the things of the world or reject the things of the world depending on what Krishna wants us to do. Then we can do. Then we are working for Krishna, we are not working on our own behalf. As I told you earlier, that one should not portray oneself as a friend of everyone, but one should reveal to people that Krishna is the real friend of everyone. So one should work on behalf of Krishna. One should work on behalf of Krishna and for Krishna. Whereas what happens, many sadhus who went from India, they were also preaching, talking about Krishna, Bhagavad Gita and all. When they saw that, they started getting so many Western followers. They started so many boys, girls, they are interested in America nowadays. Because everywhere there is a great eagerness to know about the Vedas. Then they started becoming like Krishna. They said, come on, I will do my asa dance with all of you. They started enjoying those women, and they said they were caught up by the police and put in the jail. Like that. So if you try to become Krishna, claiming yourself to be the friend of everyone, enjoyer of the entire world, then you'll be in a jail. So living unity is not meant for that. He is supposed to cooperate with Krishna and work for Krishna and work on behalf of Krishna. This should be very carefully understood. Similarly, if Krishna wants us to renounce the world and render service to him, it's best for us to renounce the world. Like if our guru tells us that we should leave home and we should live under the tree, then we should directly live under the tree. best thing for us is to renounce the world. On the other hand, if Guru tells us that, no, don't do Markata Vairagya, don't live under the tree. You should live in this bungalow, you should get married, and you should live as a part of the world, continuing your service, and set an example. Then one should do that. Then that is ideal for one. Like Priyavrata was told, Priyavrata was ordered by Brahmaji, as well as Sayandhya Manu, that you should go back to the kingdom and become the king of the entire world. Is it sin gratification or not? Why it is not sin gratification? So he was under the instructions that they were to the kingdom. He was living in the midst of so much affluent wealth and opulence. Still, he did not enjoy them on his own account. He was having them on Krishna's account, like that. On the other hand, we see great renunciates, like Shivadeva Goswami, Allah Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then many other renunciates we find. We renounce the world, not to show the world, just see how great am I. You fall at my feet, you glorify me, you adore me, you do me profit, not for that. They renounce the world for glorifying and broadcasting Krishna's glories. So, they are also working. Such as they are not actually renouncing work, they are also working. But they are working for Krishna. Is that clear? So, only such a Krishna conscious living being, only he can be the most peaceful. And he is considered the only selfless living being. So there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Mukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ati Yoga Shanta. It is said, Mukti Kami, Mukti means one who wants to enjoy this world. He cannot be peaceful. Mukti Kami, one who wants to merge into Brahman or become God, he will be frustrated because of such a wrong desire. And Siddhi Kami, there are many yogis, like we will be reading Ashtanga Yoga in this chapter. There are many yogis, by performing Ashtanga Yoga, they get many siddhis and powers. In fact, Prabhupada writes in this purport, if you read, that even the yogi who is having a half-closed eye and performing meditation, his desires are not pure, he writes, which is the purport. Because his motives are to get some siddhis and show the world, just see what I can do. In fact, those siddhis come even in the middle. When one is in the fourth or fifth stage, one gets some siddhis. And immediately a yogi comes out and shows the world, just see, I can produce ashes, I can produce gold, I can walk on water, I can fly on sky, I can do so many things. So they lose the whole thing. They lose the power. So even Vishwamitra Muni, when he exercised his siddhis to make the Trishanku Swarga, immediately he lost his power. After that, again he had to go back to forest and perform various other penance. Like that. Even when he saw Menaka and got tempted, but then also he lost power completely. Again, he had to perform penance for several thousands of years. So these yogis, they get some powers, mystic powers, but they misuse them at the wrong time, and then they lose the powers. Again, they have to go back. And then gradually they have to go to jhana, and go to the stage of samadhi at a later time. So that is why they said they are never peaceful. Because they are constantly wondering, when will I get the powers? When can I walk on water? And today is Rasikananda. Rasikananda will appear and say today. There is a pastime in his life. One time when Rasikananda was brushing his teeth, some people came running to him and said, you know, he can, I saw a yogi who can fly in the sky. Everyone practically saw with their own eyes. They are flying in the sky. And Rasikananda said, no, don't worry about all that. He said, just continuing to, he was coming to brush. And again the people were very, very Vaishnava, sir, little distracted. They are feeling, we saw with their own eyes, somebody was flying like this. So hearing them repeatedly and seeing that they are developing foolishly faith in such a mystic yogi, and in order to show that this kind of siddhis are not very difficult to achieve, he was brushing with Dhatan, they call it, isn't it? He put it on the ground and he just stood on that, and the Nintu started crying like this. Zoom, 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 3-4 times it went like this, and then again it came back to the same place. And everyone was shocked to see that. So Rasikananda, he was not a yogi, he was actually a bhakta only, devotee. But many great devotees also have this kind of yogic powers inbuilt in them. But they do not reveal them, because by revealing these powers, one loses one's tapo shakti. Tapo bal. one loses one's strength. In this way, Siddhi Kami also is always in anxiety. When will I get more powers? How can I show to the world? Or he may be comparing himself with other siddhas. He can perform that, I can perform even better than him. So like we have competition in the material world, similarly there is competition among the siddhas who have some abilities, among the gandharvas, and the charanas. Even amongst them there are people having competition. And even amongst the monists, monists are the mayavadis or impersonalists, they want to become gods. And that is also considered an illegal desire. Because a living entity is a part of God, you can never become God. So that is also a desire that is foreign to a living entity. It is not natural desire. So he says, Bhukti Kami, Mukti Kami, Siddhi Kami, Sakale, Ashanta, he says. Everyone is not. Everyone is full of turmoil. Krishna Bhakta, Nishkama, Atiyot Shanta. Nishkama, it is said. The Krishna Bhakta is desireless. What is the meaning of desirelessness? Desireless doesn't mean that you empty the heart and make your heart like a void, like an empty heart. It is not desirelessness. Many Buddhists think like that. Buddhists are thinking that we have to completely create a vacuum in the heart by emptying the heart. It is impossible for one to completely empty the heart from all desires. Because the moment you free the desires from the heart, the living entity is finished, that is one of the places. The living entity is finished without the desires. He has to have desires. It's a question of whether you want to have material desires or you want to have spiritual desires. So material desires should be replaced with spiritual desires. So even the desire to become God is a material desire. It's not a spiritual desire. One wants to become one with God. One wants to be called as God. In fact, this is called as the last snare of Maya. Why it is the last layer of Maya? Because, you see, the materials are different in the world, whom we see with our eyes. They are running here and there for small, small pleasures. They are like pickpocketers. Pickpocketers go and rob one small purse of a person and then they may find some 20 rupees and they may feel very happy. Oh, I have done this, like that. And then there may be a bigger robber who may go to your house and steal some 1,000 to 2,000 rupees. But somebody may be there who can do some scandal in a bank. I don't know, some years ago we had this Harshad Mehta. Big time man, isn't it? Big time robber. Who may dress very smartly, who may look like very decent gentlemen, pose themselves as gentlemen in society, but when the amount of money they have robbed is something like 400 crores. So they are big time robbers who may pose very nicely. Similarly, we are sensitive to thought at a small level, he is a person who is running after the pleasures of the world here and there, working hard and enjoying. He's going to be an enjoyer very openly. So you can call him a fool very easily. And there are people who are little subtle enjoyers. Who say that, no, 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 we want to perform some Ashtanga Yoga and we will get some guns and siddhis. And we will, after getting summers, we'll come back and then we will become enjoyers. We will walk on water and show the entire world, then we will become enjoyers. And people will care for us. Because they can do something which others can't do. Like that. Others are even more intelligent. They say, no, 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 no. When the powers are there, I get, I will not use them. I will keep them, keep them. And then I will advance further and further. So that the whole world will call me God. So I will be called as God. So everyone will worship me as God. So this is the last star of Maya. Because you have given up the petty things of the world, you have given up siddhis and you have gone further, and you have given up heavenly planets. Still, one wants to become God and be called as God. This is also enjoying mentality of the highest level. It's also material to work. So they can never be peaceful, such people. But Krishna Bhakta, they said, is Nishkama. How about Krishna Bhakta is Nishkama? Was practically demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya. Nadanam, Nadanam, Nasundarim, Kavitamba, Dagadisha Kamaye, Nava Janmani, Janmani, Shri Bhavata, Bhakti Rahay Kutitari. He said, Nadanam, I don't want wealth of this world. Nadanam, I don't want any number of palaces. Nasundarim, I am not eager for womanly beauty. And he said, I don't want sweet poetry which promises so much enjoyment in the heavenly planets. I don't want anything. And I don't want to become God also. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishare Savatar Bhaktira Haitikitsai. I simply want to be your servant birth after birth. So because the Krishna's devotee is working on Krishna's behalf, and he does not do anything on his own account for his own benefit, such a Krishna conscious devotee only can be called as a selfless actor. He is the only person, a fruitive actor, we say, is merely a person who acts selflessly, is only a devotee of Krishna. So what is the devotee's criteria in his life? What is the standard, a devotee's standard? Who can say? The devotee's criterion is Krishna's satisfaction. This is the criterion for a devotee. If Krishna pleased, that's all. I am satisfied now. The devotee never portrays himself to be a very great personality. He doesn't want people to know that he is the doer of the activity. The devotee simply wants to see that Krishna is pleased. That is why all these devotees are fond of services. Prabhupada wrote only one letter to his spiritual master. And he asked only one question. What was the question? How can I serve you? So the only question he asked. So such great devotees of the Lord, they never want to become famous. Their criterion is Krishna's satisfaction. That is why they can be completely selfless. That means, while satisfying Krishna, they may become very significant and the whole world may verify that. Or, while satisfying Krishna, they may remain insignificant in one corner for no one to know. They may render services and they may one day die and pass away. Still, a devotee never worries about these things. He never worries what is the understanding of people about me, how much the world knows me. He never worries about it. His goal is only how Krishna is satisfied. If you have achieved that platform, then you can be a servant of the living entity. It is possible. Because you will know there are certain talents in others which are better than in me. For example, I am not a very good singer. Another Rupin is a better singer than me. Then I will want him to serve Krishna so that Krishna will be pleased. You get my point? Instead of me serving Krishna, I know that I don't have a sweet throat, so let him sing and let him please Krishna. Or if somebody else is very good in making gulab jamun, and I want to see that Krishna is very pleased, then when there is a meeting, who can make gulab jamun? I will make gulab jamun. I will say, oh, she can make gulab jamun very nicely, or he can make gulab jamun. Then you suggest someone who can make very nicely. That means your criteria is Krishna satisfaction, not your satisfaction. You are not thinking that, you know, I can also do like her. Let me try to put her down. Let me try to put him down. And if you see that in the meeting, he or she is not there, you feel very happy. Very good, that fellow is missing. Now, let them call my name. You don't feel like that. Because you don't think whether I am doing or he is doing, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, we want Krishna to be pleased. If Krishna will be pleased by his or her service, let them render the service. And I will become his or her servant and I will assist them. So, she is making gulab jam, she is very great. So let me go and assist her. Or this person is a very great preacher. Or he can give better lecture than me. So that is a very big program. 500 people are going to come for the program. I am a big fool. What can I preach? So let me call him. He can preach and I will become his servant. And let me go and assist him. Let me introduce him. Let me make the arrangement and other things. And such a devotee who has understood this concept and digested this concept in his life, he or she can be the best servant of every living entity. This is actually the meaning of becoming servant of the servant. You can speak it hundreds of times. But the real mode of servant of the servant is to understand that Krishna should be ultimately satisfied. That should be the point. This is one view. Another point of view is that one renders service to the best of one's ability and then leaves it to Krishna. Krishna, I will try my best to render service. Generally, whenever we render service, we look for the fruits. Who is going to be the enjoyer of the fruits of this action? Me or somebody else? If somebody else is going to be the enjoyer of the fruits, then I will not do it. Isn't it? You understand this point? So generally, we always do activities with the aim of getting the fruits for ourselves. If you do action, we want glorification that comes for that action. And if you are not going to get a glorification, you will not be ready to do that. But a devotee doesn't even want to be recognized by anyone. He just does the activity and lets the credit go to anybody. He doesn't bother at all. That's a very great consciousness. Marvendrapuri, when Lord reserved the keys for Marvendrapuri, when Marvendrapuri came to know that he was brought this key for drinking, and all people came to know, and Marvendrapuri became afraid that the whole village will come to know and they will glorify me that Lord reserved this water secret for me. So he escaped from the village and started running towards Puri. This was because a devotee never wants to be recognized for his services. He never wants to be adored for his services. So his criteria is only Krishna satisfaction. If Krishna is pleased, whether the world knows me or not, I don't bother. And it is true also, if Krishna is pleased, he will go back to God. The world may not even know whether he went back to God or not, but if Krishna is pleased, then that is the ultimate goal of our life. But unfortunately, in a conditioned stage, we want to take glory for ourselves. We want others to know. We are actually more concerned about recognition from the world than from Krishna. So we should want to be recognized by Krishna, not by the world. Because worldly people are going to keep on changing bodies. One who glorifies us now or curses us now, we are going to be in different body, and we are going to take another body also. So why should we bother? So whenever we do action, we should always worry about Krishna satisfaction. So that is why Mahaprabhu said, Naganam Naganam Nasanjarim Kavitam Bhajagadisha Samye Namajanmani Janmanishwari Apatar Bhaktira Haitakitvayi. I simply want to serve you, my Lord, birth after birth. I don't have any other desire. So here in the first shloka we saw how one should not prematurely renounce his duties. True sannyasi is one who gives up the fruits of work. That means Krishna says in the first shloka that you do the work and you give the fruits to Krishna. In the second shloka he says that whether you are renouncing the work or you are performing actions and renouncing the fruits, in either case, Krishna says that one should be free from the desire for sense gratification. The actual meaning is that you cannot be a renouncer in this world. Like if I go to somebody's house and say, I renounce this umbrella, I renounce this cot, I renounce this table, I renounce this property, it's meaningless. In the same way, the sannyasis, if they renounce the world, in the first place, what do they have to renounce? They don't possess anything. If you renounce the city and go to forest also doesn't belong to you. There also there are so many things which you may take from the Lord, like the fruits and grains and things like that. So we cannot be a renouncer at all. But one can renounce on behalf of Krishna. If Krishna orders one to be a renunciate, then one can be a renunciate. So whether you are a renunciate or you are performing the best action, both are all right, both are perfect, but both of them should be free from the impurity of sense gratification. That means the enjoying mentality. This is actually technically called as paap karne ki pravritti, as we call it. Paap and paap karne ki pravritti, both are not same. They both are different. Because sins can be eradicated. In fact, sins can be contracted by prayaschitta and many other things like that. But tapasa, brahmacharya, shamena, damena, so many processes are there, how which sins can be counteracted. But the sinful tendency is very difficult to give up. In fact, without the sinful tendency, one should perform that action, it goes like that. That means, like for example, if somebody is sleeping, he can be woken up. But if somebody has a tendency to always sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning, that tendency is actually part of the habit, isn't it? So that if somebody has that habit, it's very, very difficult. Once in a while, if a person, generally he wakes up at 5 o'clock, but one day he slept till 8 o'clock, he can be very easily woken up. But somebody who has been always sleeping till 8 o'clock every day, to wake him up at 5 o'clock, is it possible? Very difficult. So in the same way, sinful tendency means you have already committed some sins and they can be eradicated, but again the tendency is there inside. Again you are going to commit similar things like that. So that can be eradicated only by bhakti. We will be seeing that later. So that is the second shloka. Third shloka.
ఆయుర్క్షోర్మునే యోగం కర్మ కారణముచ్యతే యోగారూఢస్తతస్యైవ సమకారణముచ్యతే.
For one who is a neophyte in the Eightfold Yoga system, work is said to be the means. And for one who is already elevated in yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. So there are two stages. One is called as Yoga Ruruksha, that's the beginning stage. And the advanced stage is called as Yoga Rudha. So, Baladeva Jayapushan has explained that in this Eightfold Path, which I was explaining last class, Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, in that, the six stages before Dhyana, they are called as Yoga Ruruksha, Neophyte stage. And Dhyana and Samadhi are called as Yoga Rudha. So, it is said, as long as one is in the Neophyte stage or Yoga Ruruksha stage, then one should continue to perform one's actions. At the same time, one should also, at the same time, try to give up the fruits of the action by not enjoying them for one's own. That means one should perform Ashtanga Karma Yoga for purification. Even while performing Ashtanga Yoga, that means an Ashtanga Karma Yogi will be living in society as anybody else, and he will perform Ashtanga Karma Yoga. At the same time, on one hand he is becoming purified, on the other hand he is also performing this Ashtanga Yoga. He can also perform Ashtanga Yoga, then in the Yoga Ruruksha stage. And when he comes to the stage of Dhyana Yoga Ruruksha stage, then one completely gives up this Ashtanga Karma Yoga also. And one enters into meditation, only the Dhyana and Samadhi, and one goes into trance. Now, rather the Bhaktas, or Krishna devotees, when you compare them with this particular kind of people, and Ashtanga Karma Yogi and Ashtanga Yogi and Bhaktas, if you compare them, did you understand these two things, Yoga Ruruksha and Yoga Rudha? Yoga Ruruksha is a neophyte, Yoga Rudha is an advanced person, and in the eight stages, the first six are called Yoga Ruruksha, who is a neophyte. That means he performs Ashtanga Karma Yoga as well as Ashtanga Yoga, namely Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana and all he is doing. At the same time, he is an Ashtanga Karma Yogi, becoming gradually purified on one hand, becoming detached from his enjoying propensity. And then in Yoga Rudha stage, he enters into the Ashtanga Yoga, where he is in trance. That is explained, we will be reading it in the next few classes about how he performing meditation, he has to go Shicho Deshe Pratapashta, he will be telling, Krishna will be telling that one should go to forest, one should lay down kusha grass, and one should keep a deer skin, and one should meditate. One cannot do such things in a fashionable city like Pune or Bombay. So one has to go to forest. We will be reading the advanced stages of Ashtanga Yoga. But where does a devotee stand? Anybody can tell me? A devotee is already in the stage of meditation. He is already in the stage of samadhi. Right from the beginning. So if I can understand this, either you have to take Nishkama Karma Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, and by Nishkama Karma Yoga become purified and detached from enjoying mentality, and then come to the stage of Ashtanga Yogi, and then meditate in trance, and gradually by severe meditation you see the super soul in your heart, and then you can see God face to face. This is one process. On the other hand, a bhakta, what is he doing? The bhakta is doing the liberated activities even while in a conditioned stage. In the spiritual world, what are the liberated activities? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Satsyavanam, Jasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vajanam. These are all activities to be performed in the liberated stage. The Muktatmas in the spiritual sky, they are all performing these activities. But what are we all doing? We are doing the same thing, is it not? In a conscious stage. So, a devotee, even if he is in a neophyte stage, if he sincerely performs his activities, he can be in samadhi. Samadhi or trance does not mean that one should go to forest and close one's eyes, and one remains a brahmachari, and one follows all the rules which will be said later. It's not that is samadhi. Many people think samadhi means many people come into temple, they sit like this, mudra, they think this is the only time I'm in samadhi, you know, in my entire nation. They sit for some 10 minutes or like that, no? They do that and then they go away doing their same activities all day long. Hmm? Reading the Nazi magazines outside and everything, doing all the Nazi activities. So this is not samadhi. Samadhi actually, we'll be reading about samadhi in one of the slogans later. Samadhi means fixing one's mind at the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. Steadily, as long as you can fix your mind in the Lord, so in that period of time you are in samadhi. No matter whatever actions you are doing, that means you may be doing archana, you may be doing dandavat, you may be serving prasadam for all the devotees, you may be cooking in the kitchen, you may be making garland for the Lord, some Mataji's, they may be making stitching the dress for the Lord, like that. Or you may be in your office, sitting in your office, doing some company job. Still, in all these situations, if you are able to remember the Lord in your mind, and remember yourself in relation to the Lord, then you are in samadhi. This is the real meaning of samadhi. That is why the process of bhakti is so wonderful that anybody in any walk of life can perform bhakti yoga. It is possible. As far as Ashtanga yoga is concerned, it is mandatory that you have to be a celibate. That is a brahmachari. Jnana yoga and Ashtanga yoga, they reject the householders. They say that householders cannot take that process. But in Bhakti Yoga, as he said, householders, what is your only householders? Anybody in any walk of life can practice Bhakti Yoga. You know why? Because Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are weaklings. Because Jnana and Vairagya, they both come from that. They are actually the children of Bhakti. Bhakti is the mother. They both come from Bhakti, actually. In fact, they take support of Bhakti for their own sustenance. That's why we say Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Jnana Mishra, they say, why? Because Jnana Yoga, they are also taking support of the deity worship and things like that in order to all achieve their Jnana, because they don't have any clear understanding. So Jnana and the yoga process, they are not as potent as Bhakti that even householders adopt that. Because as far as householders are concerned, they have to live in city and they have to live with family. When you are in a family, today we are talking about possessiveness and enjoying mentality. So it must be very difficult for a householder, if he is not a devotee of the Lord, to see every other living beings at home to be individual souls. When you see everyone to be individual soul and you have no relation with them, is it possible to see like that? But a bhakta can see in that way. How is it possible? Because he thinks, my wife, my children, this house, and all these things are actually properties of Krishna. And these are all put under my custody. And I have to protect them, preserve them, and offer it all back to Krishna. So in this consciousness, the bhakta can work. So that is why the process of bhakti is so powerful, that it can liberate anyone. So bhakta is always in trance right from the beginning of his spiritual life. The beauty is that even a devotee who has just come to temple a week ago, when he can come to temple, he is accepting prasadam, and is going with devotees outside for book dissipation, he was telling, Karmakaran Maharaj was telling in Bombay, when I was with him, he was telling me that there is a city called Rottenburg. So the name of the city is Rottenburg and people are rotten people there. They are rotten activity. So he was telling that once when he went to the city, he was observing that a boy had just come to the temple a week ago. And he just came to the temple to learn some yoga. And he felt very inspired seeing the devotees. And he also started waking up in the morning, dancing with devotees, eating prasadam. And one of the temple devotees was going out for book distribution. And this boy also took a bag along with him, and he also accompanied him to go. And there was a beggar who was begging from person to person. And he came to these two people. And he was begging. And the devotee didn't carry anything with him, he had nothing. So the devotee told him, just stand, Hare Krishna, I was telling. So the other boy, when this beggar was going away, he called him, please wait. Come here, he called him. When he came here, he put his hand inside his pocket, and the morning for the breakfast, they used to give them one cup of milk and one apple. So he had eaten only half of the apple. He had cut it and kept the rest half in his bag, in his pocket. So he took that out and he handed it over to this beggar. Please accept this prasad. This is Krishna prasad, and you take it. So this beggar very happily took the prasad and went away. So Karmakaran Maharaj is telling me Even a devotee who is 1 week old in Krishna consciousness can distribute human form of life. You are telling. That means this beggar is now assured that in the next life he will not take animal body. Because he has accepted Krishna prasadam. So this is the glory of the path of bhakti. That even the youngest of the devotee can act on behalf of the Guru and act on behalf of Krishna and do innumerable service to the world. In great service to the world. And such a person can situate himself in samadhi. So what about all of us? Are we all in samadhi always? In chanting, are you in samadhi? In samadhi. Isn't it? You go to speak. That's not samadhi, you accept samadhi. So you should try to be in samadhi. Samadhi means always Krishna conscious in all our actions. Of course, that is tamaguna when you go to sleep. So we are often in tamaguna and rajaguna and all these different gunas. But these actions which you are performing, they are actually the actions in the platform of samadhi. That means the services you are rendering, they are actually services in a liberated platform. But we are not liberated, that's the problem. We are still conditioned. So we should try to act exactly like the liberated people. So while performing the services, we should also be conscious of ourselves that we are performing them for Krishna. One time, when we were sitting in Bombay, Raghunath Swami was giving a class, Namaskara class. So he was explaining some very, very basic concept, very fundamental concept. So we were sitting, some discussion about the Atma, Paramatma, something was going on. So he asked one of the devotees, there somebody standing in the altar and he was doing this, the chamar for the Lord like this. So he asked, only the hand was seen, because he was inside and he was doing like this. And he asked, who is doing chamar? Is the hand doing chamar? He asked. Then all the gurus are wondering what to say. Then is the body doing chamar? He asked like that, one by one, many questions. Then he says, we should understand that the Atma is actually rendering the service to Krishna. You should be able to see like that. Like when you go to Juhu, you will find Juhu temple, Radharas Bihari is in between and Lalita Vishaka is standing on either side. And they are doing sama like this for the Lord. So in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna are constantly being served by thousands and thousands of souls. In the same way, when we all are rendering service, actually who is rendering service? The Atma, the soul is rendering service. Even there are the Atma. So we should always remember that I am a soul, I am servant of Krishna, and I am rendering this service for the pleasure of Krishna. Such a basic philosophy, fully forget it. Very often we tend to forget this philosophy. And while doing, we tend to think of our conditioned nature. Like I was telling today about me and mine. We think about our body.
We may be wearing tilak, we may be wearing kantimala, we may wear dhoti and kurta, but we may think I'm an engineer. Or you may think you are a doctor, or you are a businessman, even while in the temple or while in service. That's a great misfortune. So, but on the other hand, even while in your business, if you are doing the business thinking that I am working and doing all these things for Krishna's pleasure, that means you are in a samadhi stage. You get the point? So the samadhi should be properly understood. Samadhi doesn't come simply by closing eyes like that. That is not samadhi. Samadhi actually is a question of consciousness, is a proper consciousness. So, I will conclude with this thought verse.
Yada hinendriyartheshu na karma sanushajyate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yogarudas tadocchate.
A person is said to be elevated in yoga when, having renounced all material desires, he neither acts for some gratification nor engages in fruitive activities. So, this is actually the yoga aruda sadhyate. Here it is talking about the yoga aruda stage. So, when a person is completely purified of all the impurities and he has become detached from all actions in this world, then he can give up the work itself and he can simply become a meditator, Ashtanga Yogi. Then, in the next few shlokas will tell, what should such a yoga aruda do? So the person should go to the forest and how he should perform Ashtanga Yoga. Actually, Krishna is giving all this information
to make Arjuna reject this process. Because Arjuna will understand that this process is not meant for him. So that will be seen at a later time. So here it is said, when one becomes a yoga ruda, when one is completely purified, when one comes to a such a age, then one can yoga work itself. Now for devotees, then you have to tell me, what is the meaning of giving up work itself? Can devotees give up work? Actually, this we discussed long ago, probably in second chapter. No, I was talking about giving up work itself. What kind of work itself? It doesn't please Krishna. I think you're very close to answer. But how is it? Okay, I'll tell that again. Yes, Chandra has loud. Oh, that is giving up all abominable work. That. See, try to recollect this, you are telling long ago. In Nishkama Karma Yoga, when we are talking, it is said there are two things. One is work, one is fruits of work. So in the beginning it is said, one should give up the fruits of work for Krishna's pleasure. That is Nishkama Karma Yoga also, giving up the fruits of work. Later on, one should give the work itself. That means, one is not attached to the work itself. See, in the beginning they are attached to work also and the fruits of work also. I gave the example, if you remember, that you say that I would like to make one gulab jam. I don't know, I like this gulab jam very much. Again, I'll tell you this. So I say that I know gulab, like gulab jam very much. So I say, I want to make gulab jam for the Lord. He says that because I like to do this service. And you say that after the gulab jam is made, you're looking here and there, everyone. What do you all think about the gulab jam today? And everyone says, oh, what happened to us? I made it. I made it. So that means you are attached to the work and the fruits of work. Both. Now, if you are saying that I am not Lord Jaman, and if anybody takes the credit, I am least bothered about that. I want to only make it. Then if somebody else wants to take the credit, I don't mind. But I like to do this service. Or somebody may say, I like to preach. I like to do this. I like to do that. This service I like the most. One wants to do a particular service. But they are not attached to the fruit. That is certainly a very advanced stage. That is certainly called as Nishkama Karma Yoga. But still the higher platform is that a person is not attached to fruit and is not attached to work. He has given us work also. That means he is a neutral spiritual master. That you tell me what I should do. I am not attached to work. If you tell me to make work, I will make work. If you tell me to preach, I will preach. That's the person in Ramana told. Guru Maharaj, if you tell me to read Bhagavad Gita, I will read. Although I am not a great pundit. And I commit so many mistakes, but I will read. Because it is your order. That means he has given up the work also. The giving up work actually means giving up the attachment to work. He has no attachment to work at all. That's the first step. That's the highest stage. Somebody can repeat this three things, three stages. It's a self just now. This is the thing that Krishna wants us to come. This is your purpose. So Krishna, after telling all Bhagavad Gita, he told Arjuna, okay, Arjuna, I told you whatever is to be told now, whatever is there, you do. But Arjuna said, Parishya Vachanam Tava, I will do what you ask me to do, not what I want to do. Earlier Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, I don't want to fight, and this, these are the five reasons. Why I do not want to fight? I have justified. Why I don't want to fight? Now you keep quiet. Take me out of this battle. So Arjuna was attached to his own work of going to forest, and he was also thinking in terms of fruit. That even if I can kill all these people, how can I enjoy them? But after reading entire Bhagavad Gita, what was Arjuna's condition? He was not attached to the fruit, he was working on behalf of Krishna. Nor was he attached to the work itself, he told Krishna. Because you want me to fight? Karthi Vatanam Tava, I will fight. If you don't want me to fight, I will not fight. Same is the case with Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira also cried so much after the Kurukshetra war. But Krishna said, now you are not this Mukund. Krishna has gone and seen as the king of the entire world. So Yudhishthira accepted, although he never wanted to become the king of the world at all. Isn't it?
I'm in the son of the one, Mr. Russell. He just calmed down and he went to forest. The disease of our blood is like all plastic. The bad one is neither against the world, nor the dust. Fruits of the world. One is completely dead. And this man is very pleased with the of the world. So this is for a bhaktan. But as far as Ashwan is concerned, he will be performing an exam of Yoga while being in the one very important point here is, because you are attached to words and the truth of words, the Vedas are so intelligent. Actually, they are the intelligence of the Lord Himself. Isn't it? Karma Brahma Savam Bindi, the Master Samatova. Lord is so intelligent that He has created words which will fit in your interest. Like, for example, somebody says, oh, I would like to preach to others. That is my attachment to words. So, Lord says, okay, you become a Brahmana. He says, somebody says, I would like to fight, I have the fighting propensity. What should I do? Tell me, who should I beat? Okay, become a Kshatriya. Somebody says, oh, I like to count money always. Become a Vaishya. Somebody says, oh, I don't like to do anything. You tell me what you do and I will do. That's not. He needs some service, I will do. So, Lord says, okay, become a Shudra. So, these propensities are all created by the Lord to fit in our attachment to work. We are attached to a particular type of work only, and you want to do only that. Even if you put a person where he doesn't fit in, immediately he will go back to his nature of work. You can see that. I was telling you some classes before. How somebody wants to do business, but he put in an engineering college. Somehow he gets 1 year down, 2 year down, and all that, and when he passed out, immediately he goes to his father's business. Or somebody has a righteous tendency, he may go back to the village and he may be doing kheti, farming in the village. Because that is their nature, a trying to change. So Lord, understanding the specific interest of humanity to suit their attachment to work, He has designed this Varnashrama Dharma. Brahman and Vaishya Kshatriya. Now, staying in this particular Varnashrama Dharma, we should do our prescribed duty and first of all, learn to become detached only from the fruit, not from the word, only from the fruit. Then that is also called as Nishkama Karma Yoga. This is the first stage in Nishkama Karma Yoga. So by becoming detached from the fruit, that means what the Vaishya do is to give the money to, give away the money in service. Service to the Lord, like that he can give away. This is the first stage. And then when one becomes mature by giving away the fruit and advances further and further and further, a stage will come. When you understand that I am not the body, I am the soul, and this Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all these things are only covering. Aham Vishnu, Rajana, Rupate, Nath, Vaishya, Shudra. As I said, one understands. Then one can give up the prescribed duty itself altogether. That is what is said to be giving up work. Is it clear? Giving up work means giving up prescribed duty. Who can give up the prescribed duty? Only when one has achieved the Yoga Ruda stage. And he can give up the prescribed duty. Otherwise, one should not give up one's prescribed duty. One should be situated in his prescribed duty and perform the prescribed duty and give away the fruits so that one becomes purified. But when one has become purified already and has become truly detached, then you can give up the fruits also and give up the work itself also. So, in bhakti also, all of us are in different stages. The stage will come when we are completely detached from the work and its fruits. That we become first class devotees, that we just fulfill the desire to the Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Question maybe? One question. Yeah. Oh, I didn't get it. No. Actually, it is said one, Vishwanathaputra to clarify that point, that as long as one is not purified, one should do yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, all these things, while performing the prescribed duties. One should perform Ashtanga Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga parallelly. And when one has reached Yoga Ruda stage and dhyana, then one should go to parasya. This is the point here.
I don't know. 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 I don't
Even good food comes, you want the result. You want to be the result. Bad food comes, like in a project, sometimes five boys in the project. And if something wonderful comes, everyone says, I want to give the idea. I want to begin. I am the soul of the project. Others are just, you know, they were getting stationary, they were getting in types and other things. I did the whole thing. But in the project process, they say, I don't know what the people did. They spoil the whole thing. Is that like that, right? So, the real meaning here is that you do the work when good technique comes, still not wanting to enjoy the food. Actually, that is still a lower platform. Karmanyama Adhikarasya is a lower platform than Sarvadhaman Parichaya. Because in Karmanyama Adhikarasya Vishade, situate yourself in your particular Varnashrama, that means Raman Chakra Vaishishudra. You are a Kshatriya, so you have to do your Padharma, so you fight and don't be attached to the food Vishade. That is lower compared to the platform of Sarvadhaman Parichaya. Where Lord says, I want you to fight, so you fight. We can be anybody. I don't mind whether you are a Kshatriya, Brahmana, Shudra, I don't know. I want you to fight, so you should fight. That is a much higher platform compared to saying that you are a Kshatriya, so you should fight. That's a lower platform. Our body. That is extended from the body. Extended, yeah. So there is some kind of pride in people who die in the battlefield that they know that my wife will get the Paramrita Chakra. And they put my statue. You know, people know that actually very much. Some amount of ego is there in any action in this world. That is the Chopra says, you know, but every action in this world is tainted by like smoke coming along with fire. That says that every work in this world is tainted by some imperfection. Somebody asked a question, you had a question, yeah. Remember the attachment to work. Yeah. Whom you are following, that person, if he doesn't understand your potential, he may not give you the best thing. He may give you the worst thing. But if the authority knows your potential, he will give you what is best for you. Like in our case, which you are discussing here, the spiritual master knows what is best for everyone. No? So he tells someone to preach. He tells someone to distribute books. He tells someone to cook. He tells someone to wash the floor like that. He gives different services. And sometimes the one thinks that I can do that service better than this. That means he's attached to the work. So he's supposed to be detached from work and do what the spiritual master says. So here the spiritual master is the pure representative of Krishna. So the problem doesn't arise as you said, you know. Because he knows, like for example, if somebody can preach very nicely, the spiritual master may send him. somebody can use a particular word very nicely, question mark and like, because he knows in and out of it is it, like that. And even in a company situation also, if you are stressed on the work, and whatever service is given to you, you do the best, if you have that approach. If you are a spiritual-minded person, you can have that approach, there is no problem. I have seen personally, in a company like this, I have seen people. There are people who will do the job perfectly wherever you put them, in any state. But once the company recognizes you, that this person is ready to take up any job, and he will do any job perfectly, then they will recognize you and put you in the best job afterwards. So you don't have to worry at all about that. In fact, I was, when I was in Indian Air Force interview, I was one of the four people who was selected, and that person was telling me, you tell me you will join or not. If you will join as a pilot officer, we will give you, otherwise we will not give you. So in the interview he was telling me, I was looking for a Brahmin, he was telling me. This, many of the people have a sentimental notion that Brahmanas are very good. You know, they are very honest and very chaste, and they are very, very faithful to any master, wherever you put them. So this kind of feeling they have. So I told him, of course, I will join. I told him, later on my parents didn't allow me. He was going to join. But of course I told him, yes. So in the interview he admitted, he was telling that we are looking for someone who will do any job perfectly. There are so many varieties of jobs that we want to do. So everyone is looking for such people, everywhere, every company. So if you think that the quality job given to you is of lower quality, and it's not a very high quality, you do that job perfectly, will be recognized very soon. Actually, devotee is certainly not always running after success in such a way that he wants to put other people down and stamp on their shoulders. Devotee doesn't do that. He tries his best in whatever is allotted to him. And very soon he will be recognized. It's my personal experience that anybody who is a devotee, they get a very good name as time progresses in whatever field they are working in. Because people understand that this is a very harmless person. Because everyone in this world is trying to cause harm to others. So that person was thinking, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a harmless person, he was thinking. So that notion is actually a wrong notion, because many Brahmanas of Kali Yuga now, they are very dangerous people. I heard in NASA, majority of them are Brahmanas from South India. Many are not. So they are throwing bombs in other countries. So they are sending spacecrafts and they are designing nuclear bombs and all. So then they misuse their intelligence also like that in the modern times. But if you become a devotee of the Lord, then naturally you become really harmless. And people will understand. Simply by associating with you for some time, or being with you for a few days, they will understand this is a harmless person, and he does anything given to him very faithfully. He does like that. So you can be ambitious to some extent, but if you are over-ambitious, you will be frustrated in life. Because in Kali Yuga there is a cutthroat competition for people to go higher and higher and higher. Everyone is trying to pull everyone. Anybody is in the top, you try to pull him down. Anybody is equal to you, you step on his shoulders. Try to kick people away and you just want to progress like anything. And people are ready to do anything for that. So if you get in this rat race, then our life will become a mess. But you cannot get out of it also. So if you try to balance, so it became very late. You will do Kirtan too? Okay, one last question.
How do you feel that Krishna is satisfied? Because what happens, even when you are chanting, background of your mind, your thoughts are even coming. They are very nasty thoughts about what you think about the next day, you think, I will do that, and all that. So how do we get exactly purified, and how to know whether in the line with Krishna?
That is why we need a spiritual master. Because Arjuna had Krishna standing in his front and telling him, you do this, you do that. So Father Krishna is not standing and giving us instruction. And even if he is giving instruction, we don't have the ability to perceive it at this stage when we are conditioned. So we need a representative of Krishna who is the spiritual master, who will give you order, you do this, you do that. And simply by following the order, Krishna will be pleased. If he said, yes, sir, prasada, bhagavat prasada. The pleasing spiritual master, you please Krishna.